Well, hello again, Slough. It's great to be speaking with you again. Over the last few weeks, I've heard the word freedom talked about quite a lot. Now, I'm not going to get into all of the politics of that. But of course, we had what was dubbed Freedom Day just about a week ago. Things, because of the circumstances, haven't really changed that much, have they? But I do want to talk about freedom today. I want to talk about a particular freedom. I want to talk to you about the freedom that we have through forgiveness. Not just the freedom when we receive forgiveness, that's incredibly important, but also the freedom that we can have for ourselves and give to others as we express forgiveness. This is a talk that I first worked on as part of the series we had about the Jesus-centered God. And one of those aspects was the forgiving God. And I spoke on this on that week. But when I spoke, I just felt that this was actually a subject which bears further exploration and repetition to more than one group of people, because I think it is so central. Now, in a minute, we will hear a reading from Luke's Gospel, which tells the story of what happened when Jesus attended a dinner party at a particular tax collector's house. The tax collector was called Matthew or Levi, depending on translation, and it was a remarkable occurrence, and we will hear that in a moment from Luke's Gospel. But before that, I just want to show you a little video clip compilation of the events leading up to that dinner party. It's taken from The Chosen. I hope you've been watching that on The Chosen app online. If you haven't, I thoroughly recommend it. Second season's just finished. It's telling the life of Jesus, but it's telling it, I believe, in a most remarkable way. I love the way they're weaving in backstories, which may not be actually present in the Bible, but in many cases they're hinted at, and they're certainly very legitimate as far as I can tell. And it just is making those well-known Bible stories really come to life. Anyway, this is a little compilation to do with Matthew about what may have happened leading up to this dinner party. And then I'm going to read to you from Luke's Gospel.
Matthew! Keep your voice down.
Pardon me, Mr. Public Amos.
It's me that don't want to be seen with you, remember?
It's Public Highness.
I like it the other way, tax man. If any citizen asks about my cargo, I must tell the truth. It's the biggest pile of dung in all Capernaum.
This is your stop.
Wait, this is the far side of the market.
Get out.
No.
No?
This is the job. You drive so I don't walk to the market.
It's too crowded.
Out! I'll pay you double.
Money won't buy the stink of me and my family if I am seen with you. Out!
Thank you. Matthew. Matthew, son of Alpheus.
Yes.
Follow me.
Me?
Yes, you.
Whoa. What are you doing?
You want me to join you?
Keep moving, street preacher.
Do you have any idea what this guy's done? Do you even know him?
Yes.
Listen, I said to...
What are you doing? I don't get it.
You didn't get it when I chose you either.
But this is different. I'm not a tax collector.
Get used to different.
I'm glad we passed by your booth today, Matthew.
Yes.
Shall we? We have a celebration to prepare for.
You will regret this, Matthew.
Where are we going?
A dinner party.
I'm not welcome at dinner parties.
Well, that's not going to be a problem tonight. You're the host.
So, Luke chapter 5, starting at verse 27. Later, as Jesus left the town, he saw a tax collector named Levi, or Matthew, sitting at his tax collector's booth. Follow me and be my disciple, Jesus said to him. So Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Later, Matthew held a banquet in his home with Jesus as the guest of honor. Many of his fellow tax collectors and other guests also ate with them, but the Pharisees and their teachers of religious law complained bitterly to Jesus' disciples. Why do you eat and drink with such scum? Jesus answered them, healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. I've come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners and need to repent. Forgiveness and acceptance are things that we all crave, I think. Close friend of mine, known to many of you, Rob Haywood, wrote a song way back in 1985 that says this: I'm accepted, I'm forgiven, I'm loved by the true and living God. And as you probably know, that song has gone all around the world since 1985. It's on various albums. It's been translated into different languages, I think. I even found it in a school hymn book in Maidenhead a little while back. Now, there's a reason why that happens to songs. Oh, there's probably more than one reason. Sometimes, to be honest, songs have a great tune and very catchy. And this song does have a great tune. But I think more importantly, it often happens when songs resonate with something deep within us. And that's true of this song. Forgiveness is at the heart of the good news that Jesus brought to us, that we really can be forgiven. And when we do something wrong, it's what we hope for from others, not just God, but if we've wronged someone else, we hope that they'll forgive us, don't we? And yet, certainly it's my experience, as those called to show this forgiving God on earth as Christians, Christians, it can be the single most difficult thing for us to actually do, can't it? And I want to spend just a few minutes thinking about that, about why it might be. And I do want us to also to spend a bit of time reflecting on what might be speaking to us personally. And out of all that, my prayer is that we really do all go away a little bit freer, embracing the true freedom for which the Bible tells us Christ has set us free. But first, I do want to remind us of some other words from the Bible, this time from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It's a really well-known chapter, written by the Apostle Paul, containing a powerful exposition about the nature of real love. And in the middle, it says this: love keeps no record of wrongs. Boom. Full stop. No record of wrongs. Now, if I'm honest, possibly if we're all honest, we don't want there to be a full stop there. We want there to be a comma and then to add, except, of course, about people who have hurt us deeply, have hurt others we love deeply, have hurt vulnerable people. I don't know what the categories are for you, but for me, if I'm honest, if someone hurts someone I love, I want to hurt them badly. And of course, the verse isn't talking about literally keeping a written record, at least I don't think that. It's talking about what we write somewhere else, what we write on our hearts, in our emotional memories. Proverbs 4:23 says, all of life, all of our life springs from what's in our heart. And so we should guard our heart. Now, again, the truth is, this kind of love is completely unreasonable. And yet it's the sort of love Jesus demonstrated on occasions, just like the one we just heard. The people at Matthew's dinner party, Matthew included, weren't considered nice people, as you picked up, I hope, in that video clip. They were people seen as traitors, thieves, people who'd sold their souls, unspiritual. And the reason they were together at Matthew's house was because no one else would have them. As Matthew said in the clip, I don't get invited to dinner parties. So here's a question. In that face-off that we read about in Luke chapter 5, that happened between the pious keepers of religious law on one side and Jesus on the other, which side would I be on? And which side would you be on? Let's imagine the table set not in first century Palestine, but at a house in Slough, populated by, I don't know, violent gang members, thieves, benefit frauds, tax frauds, racists, or the person that hurt me, offended me yesterday, last week, last year, 10, 20, 30 years ago, longer. How would we feel about Jesus welcoming them to the party? Love keeps no record of wrongs. We believe that Jesus showed us what God is like. When Jesus forgave, he was pronouncing God's forgiveness. He was demonstrating God's forgiveness to those that society and religion had abandoned. And ultimately, of course, on the cross, he uttered those amazing, heart-wrenching words, "Father, forgive them." This is the love of God. This is the forgiveness of God. I tend to hold on to offence. And yet the amazing truth is that forgiveness doesn't just free those we forgive. It really does free us as well.
let me just give you a couple of quick stories just from people I've encountered. A few years ago, I was helping out with a 3-day leadership development program with a big company. I have the privilege of doing that every now and again. And as part of that, I was doing some one-to-one coaching with a young lady, incredibly talented, definitely on an upward trajectory with this very large company. And after this, went on to do great things. But with all of that, I just sensed in this one-to-one coaching and through other exercises we'd done on the program that there was something holding her back. So I was praying for God to just give me some words to say to her to perhaps help unlock that. And just as she was leaving, I just said to her, you know, you don't need the little girl anymore. And as you can imagine, that surprised her. But she was very gracious and didn't reject what I said at all. She said she would think about it. Now, the next day, as soon as she came in the room, I could tell something had changed. And as soon as I had an opportunity, I talked to her about it. She told me that that last evening, after those words to her, she had gone back to her room. She had thought about it. She tried to think what they could mean. And into her mind came a memory of when she was 9 years old. And through various circumstances to do with her family, she traveled around a lot, been in various schools, so had found it hard to make friends. But she had formed a friendship, she felt, with two girls. And on that day that she remembered, the two girls said, "We don't want to be your friend." So actually, even though that had happened, over the years, they had stayed somewhat in touch, and she actually had their phone numbers. And from her room, from her hotel room, she called them both and asked, you know, am I remembering this right? And they said, yes, absolutely. They both said this. And what's more, we were so ashamed afterwards that we made a pact never to speak about it. And they asked forgiveness, and this remarkable young lady felt able to grant that to them. And they all went away a lot freer. A bit more recent, just the other week, I was talking to a friend, someone who's served faithfully in his church for decades, and he's served his family faithfully for decades. He's a man of prayer. He's a faithful friend to many. But just quite recently, he told me the Lord had reminded him that he was actually holding resentment against someone for something that had been done over 30 years ago. And he said, the Lord spoke to me about it and said I needed to sort that out. And the mark of the caliber of the man was that he did take action. He contacted that person, went to see them, actually apologized for holding on to the resentment, confessed his own unforgiveness, said he wanted to sort things out, and things were remarkably sorted out. It's just one more story about grace and freedom that really encouraged me recently. Love keeps no record of wrongs, but the reality is I don't know how to do that without God's help, without him showing his presence in me somehow, without his image showing through me. And I'm really aware that this stuff is relatively easy to talk about, and it's very tough to do. And it's quite possible that some of you listening to this will have very deep-seated memories of things done to them that seem impossible and unreasonable to forgive. And by ourselves, they are unreasonable. All we can do is ask for God's forgiveness to flow through us to the other party. All we can do is go back to that dinner party at Matthew's house. All we can do is bring those situations and those people to Jesus. And of course, just like the Pharisees in the story, it's easy to picture ourselves in that situation as the righteous ones. But of course, the reality is we do all need forgiveness and acceptance. And in that passage, we heard Jesus being very clear that we all need to recognize our need of the great physician for our own deeds and our own attitudes. So now I'm going to stop and we're going to create some space for God to speak to us. And you might feel it helpful to close your eyes and use your wonderful, divinely inspired imagination. And I want you to picture a table, not back in first century Palestine, picture a table now in your house, perhaps. And the table is set for a dinner party. And in the center of the table, there is Jesus, however you want to picture him. Now, as you see Jesus sat there at your table, who else do you need to allow to be sat at the table? And in letting them sit down, say, I want to let go of any unforgiveness or lack of acceptance that I have. It might be a particular person. It might be a category of person. Who should be sat there at the table? And secondly, allow yourself to sit down and look Jesus in the eyes. And is there anything you need to say to him? Is there anything you need to bring to your Heavenly Father through Jesus that you know you need forgiveness for? The reality is Jesus has dealt with it already, but it's really helpful for us to speak it out. Where do we need to hear him say words of reassurance, acceptance, that we are forgiven? Where do we need to know that love keeps no record of wrongs? Amen. Now, as I said, this stuff is easy for me to talk about, but it's really tough. And for some of you, that will have been a very tough few minutes. And if anyone did come to mind, and it's possible for you to do something about sorting something out, just like my friend did, can you find the courage to do that? Maybe you just need to share that with someone else you trust, ask them to pray with you. Perhaps this has brought up things that you just need prayer for anyway. And you will know people you can go to for prayer. And if you're watching this and you don't know someone, then please do contact River Church Slough. And someone will be really pleased to make contact with you and help you. There's been a lot said about Freedom Day. Let today, as you watch this, whenever that is, wherever that is, be a new Freedom Day for you, as you perhaps let go of things and express forgiveness and receive forgiveness. Amen.